Welcome to Pro-Life in 7 Minutes, the show where I spend over 20 minutes teaching you how you can persuade a pro-choice person in only 7. I'm your host, Catherine Burrow. I'm the co-founder and executive director of the Abortion Dialogue Academy, also known as ADA. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So a quick reminder, today's episode is going to be building on the arguments and concepts we covered in season 1. So if you haven't listened to season 1 yet, I'm going to strongly encourage you to go and do that before you dive into today's episode. Now, today's episode is on human plus arguments, which a human plus argument is when the pro-choice person says that you need to be human and have certain abilities to be considered a person. So to quickly recap how our 7-minute argument works, both pro-choice and pro-life people agree that adults and newborns are people and animals are not. So we're now trying to come up with a definition of personhood, a definition of what is a person that makes sense of these 3 cases. Typically, the pro-choice person presents a bunch of abilities, like the ability to think or feel pain or have a heartbeat, as the thing that makes us a person. But the problem with all of these abilities is that they're always something that either newborns can't do or animals can do. So what we show the pro-choice person is that the only way to give personhood to the adult and the newborn, but not the animals, is to base our personhood on being biologically human. But the problem with that explanation for the pro-choice person is that the fetus is also biologically human. So by this logic, the fetus should also be considered a person, which is typically not the conclusion they want to come to. So sometimes what pro-choice people will do is they'll say to you, well, it's not just that you need the ability to feel pain, it's that you need the ability to feel pain and you have to be biologically human. This would give a right to life to adults and newborns, not animals, and not the fetus, which is the outcome that they want. So this is a human plus argument. A human plus argument is essentially circular reasoning, where the pro-choice person is giving the conclusion they want as the explanation for what they believe. Now, sometimes pro-choice people will be like, wait, but you like started the conversation wanting to prove that the fetus is a person. You also entered this conversation with an agenda. How is my agenda circular and yours not? Our argument starts with the uncontroversial cases. Adults, uncontroversially people. Newborns, uncontroversially people. Animals, uncontroversially not. And then, only looking at the uncontroversial things that everybody agrees on, we try and come up with an explanation of what those creatures have in common. And the explanation we come up with is biologically human. We then take that thing that we've uncovered and we apply it to the controversial case of the fetus. And we see that the fetus should also be considered a person. So that is a logical progression that happened. Now, this is very different than a human plus argument, where the pro-choice person is essentially starting with this belief that the fetus is not a person. In fact, in their kind of data set, so to speak, they're uncontroversial things. They've got adults and newborns are people, animals and fetus, not people. So they're like, we have to come up with an explanation that makes sense of these 4 things that I believe to be true. Keeping in mind that one of those things is the very conclusion that they're trying to prove. So they're like, well, human doesn't work because it gives a right to the fetus. Pain doesn't work by itself because that would give rights to animals. So I'm going to add these 2 criteria together to get this conclusion I want. It would be like saying, why is the fetus not a person? Well, because a person is human plus being able to feel pain. Why are you adding pain? It's an insufficient criteria. It doesn't make sense of the uncontroversial cases on its own. Why is it there? It is inherently unnecessary. And it's like, well, you have to add it in though, because the fetus is not a person. Do you see how that's circular? Why is the fetus not a person? Because a person is human plus pain. Why are you adding pain? Because the fetus is not a person. Essentially, it's a fancy way for the pro-choice person to just say to you, I think the fetus is not a person because I think the fetus is not a person. This is just what I believe. I believe it's not a person because I believe it's not a person, and I want to define personhood in a way that comes to the conclusion that I believe. Not based on logic or reasoning, but just based on this is just what I think. So this is obviously circular reasoning, and the specific logical fallacy that the pro-choice person is committing is called begging the question. It's the name of the fallacy. And essentially what begging the question is, it's where you assume the conclusion you're trying to prove in your premise. So in philosophy, we have premises, and those premises are like the building blocks that lead to the conclusion. So when someone is begging the question, what they're doing is they're assuming that their conclusion they're trying to prove is true in the very premises they're presenting. With the pro-choice person, they are trying to prove that the fetus is not a person, but their belief that the fetus is not a person is one of their premises. They are saying to you, I think adults and newborns are people, animals and fetuses are not, therefore the fetus is not a person. Now, I'm going to give several examples of begging the question fallacies on other topics. So if you're still kind of struggling to wrap your head around all this philosophy speak, see if that doesn't help you. Now, I intentionally picked a mix of true and false statements to argue for with a circular argument. And the reason is because a circular argument does not automatically mean that the statement, the conclusion, is false. It just means that the person who's promoting this conclusion is not actually giving you a good argument for it. So for example, someone could say to you, the Da Vinci Code is a true story because the Da Vinci Code says that it's a true story. Now, do you see how that's a begging the question logical fallacy? The conclusion that you're trying to prove is that the Da Vinci Code is true, and your premise, your argument for why we should believe it to be true is because it says that it's true. Let's look at another example. Water bottles are bad for the environment because they're bad for nature. So once again, the conclusion that you're trying to prove is that water bottles are bad for the environment. And the premise, the logic, the reasoning you're giving for that is that they're bad for nature. Your conclusion is your premise. You've not actually made an argument one way for or against water bottles. You've just kind of restated the same thing over and over. Here's one more example. Oversleeping is bad because it has negative effects. Is oversleeping bad or good? What we do know with this argument is that you're literally saying that it's bad because it has negative effects. Your conclusion is that oversleeping is bad. Your premise is that it has negative effects. Your premise is the same as your conclusion. Not actually made an argument for why oversleeping is bad. Just kind of restated this opinion in a fancy way. And that is, once again, exactly what the pro-choice person is doing. They're not making an argument for why the fetus is not a person. They're just literally telling you, I think the fetus is not a person because I think a person is all non-fetuses. Another way that I kind of like to think about it would be like with data. For example, let's say that I was trying to prove that women are smarter than men. No offense to all of my male listeners out there. And I surveyed 100 women and 100 men, and the results I got were that women and men were equally smart. So let's say I went back into my data set and I deleted 20 women who were the dumbest of the group. And I justified getting rid of those women from my study by saying that, well, they shouldn't have been included because those women were not smarter than men. And I know that women are smarter than men. And then lo and behold, when I rerun my study, I find that women are smarter than men. Now, my whole justification for, you know, getting rid of certain data points was that those data points couldn't be true because they didn't prove the conclusion that I knew to be true. And that is essentially the same thing that pro-choice people are doing. It's like we have these uncontroversial data points of adults, newborns, animals, things we all agree upon. And the conclusion we come to is that we have to base our personhood on being biologically human. And the pro-choice people don't like that answer. And so their logic for why we need to add things to that criteria is, well, we need to get the conclusion that fetuses are not people. It's like throwing out those women from my study because, well, that shouldn't count because we know women are smarter than men. It's like, well, do we know that? Isn't that the whole thing we're trying to prove? You know, you add pain to your personhood criteria to prove that fetuses are not people, but the only reason you're adding that in the first place is because you believe that fetuses are not people. So I feel like I'm beating a dead horse a little bit with this episode, but I know that a lot of times my volunteers give feedback that this is one of the most confusing topics to them. So what I teach volunteers to do is to try and show the pro-choice person how their logic is circular. Now, I want to be clear. In no scenario should you ever say to the pro-choice person, oh, You're begging the question. You're committing a logical fallacy, even though that is exactly what the pro-choice person is doing. And the reason you never say that to the pro-choice person is because it's going to upset them and it's not going to be persuasive. If you remember from some of our first episodes, we talked about how important it is to keep the pro-choice person calm so that they can think rationally about the arguments we're presenting. When you start throwing out philosophical jargon at the pro-choice person, they'll feel like you're calling them dumb, which is offensive. And it'll also feel a little bit unfair. Like you said that they've committed some error, so to speak, but they don't even understand the error or what it is. So this is going to be a very unpersuasive way to approach this human plus argument. So while I will sometimes say to a pro-choice person, you know, do you see how this is circular? I will not say logical fallacy, begging the question, or any of these terms. I simply am giving you these terms, my listeners, so that you can have deeper understanding of what's going on here from the philosophy perspective. But keep in mind that none of these terms, unless you're literally talking to a philosophy major, none of them are going to be effective or helpful to use in your conversation. So what you need to do is you need to show the pro-choice person in layman's terms the issues with the argument they're attempting to construct, not just label the name of the fallacy, even though it does have a nice, pretty little name. We do this in three steps. First, you say to the pro-choice person, the criteria biologically human gives personhood rights to adults and newborns, but not animals. Blank, which is whatever their criteria is, does not. For example, pain does not. Next, you ask the pro-choice person, why add the insufficient criteria of blank, of pain, to the sufficient criteria of biologically human if it's not needed? Now, the pro-choice person is typically going to say, well, because the fetus is not a person. And this is where you show them in step three. So what I'm hearing you say is, why is the fetus not a person? Because a person is human plus blank, human plus pain. Why are you adding blank? Why are you adding pain? Well, because the fetus is not a person. Do you see how that's circular? So why is circular reasoning bad? Essentially, what the pro-choice person is advocating is they have this controversial belief, a belief that a bunch of organisms that exist in the world are not people. All of these unborn children, not people. And what they are wanting, what they're advocating is to legislate that controversial view on other people without really any secular reasoning or logic behind it. It's simply, this is what I believe, and I think this needs to be law. Which is so ironic because typically that is the thing that pro-life people are being accused of. We're being accused of trying to force and legislate our controversial religious views. And when a pro-choice person says that we're trying to force a religious view, they typically mean like something that is unprovable, something we believe just because we believe it without any proof or logic or science to back it up. But at the same time, that is exactly what a pro-choice person is doing with the human plus argument. They're saying, like, I want to legislate this controversial belief that I have that the fetus is just not a person because I just believe it in my bones. But I'm going to be really honest with you. Showing the pro-choice person that their logic is circular often doesn't actually get them to abandon that logic, unfortunately. You know, I always get volunteers who ask me this question where they're like, well, what do you do? And the pro-choice person's like, I'm just pro-choice because I just am. Which this is essentially what a human plus argument is. It's essentially the same as saying, like, I define personhood as non-fetus, which I've literally had a girl say to me on campus before. Like, literally her premise for why she was pro-choice was the same as her conclusion. And the irony of that was completely lost on her. But I always tell volunteers, I'm like, look, sometimes there's nothing you can do. I mean, at the end of the day, like, that's why we persuade 20% of the people we talk to, not 80%. Sometimes pro-choice people just believe so strongly that the fetus is not a person. It doesn't matter if you show them that that belief has no proof. It has no grounding. It's not based in logic. It's not based in science. It's not based in reason. It's just their personal opinion. Sometimes they're just going to look at you and say, well, that's just what I believe. And when that happens, you just thank the pro-choice person for talking to you and you go and talk to someone else. So if someone presents a human plus argument to you, you're going to want to show them that it's circular. You don't want them to leave the conversation thinking this is a super valid, strong, logical argument that they've come up with for why to be pro-choice. But if at the end of the day, they decide that they're just going to stick to their guns and be pro-choice because they just are, well, Welcome to apologetics. So I hope that's not too much of a downer to end today's episode on. I've got a little workbook sheet on how to respond to Human Plus arguments. If you're on our email list, you should have already gotten that email to you. If you're not on our email list, you can join by going to www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/podcast or by clicking the link in the show notes below. Next week's episode is going to be on bodily rights, the classic My Body, My Choice. I'm very excited for this episode, so tune in next week if you want to learn how to talk about that. If you liked today's episode, you can help support the channel by leaving us a 5-star review. Make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. And if you haven't yet, sign up for our podcast email list on our website. That's www.abortiondialogueacademy.org/podcast. That way you get all the training exercises from the show delivered right to your inbox. Now I will see all of you next Saturday as I continue to teach you how you can persuade someone to be pro-life in 7 minutes. Until next week, God bless.